Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Challenge Battle of the Bloodlines, or Hap Up podcast for episode 3. I am Brian Cohen. Here with me, as always, is my co-host, Allie Lesher. Allie, how are you?
Doing well, Brian. Ready to go dig into the episode. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm very excited about this season. I love the episode. I love this group of people, so I'm ready to go.
I'm less excited about this season. I don't know. I'm waiting for something to happen. I just kind of feel like I've seen this before. But what I haven't seen before, and I'm really stoked about, is all of the 5-star reviews we got since we last spoke. One thing is, I will say, we did get a 4-star review, which is great. We appreciate all of your feedback. But no, I don't think so at all. Seriously. But it was because this person seemed to think I was hungover from a holiday party, and I abandoned a holiday party to be at the podcast. So I wish that I had the partying lifestyle people presume that I have. And I will not offer any other suggestion or the real reasons why I was tired, because the party sounds way more fun. So I'll leave it at that. I am a crazy wild partier, obviously.
Obviously.
Who comes then to do a podcast about an MTV TV show?
You were
show.
Podcasting at the holiday party, right? Weren't you at the DJ booth, like getting the crowd into it?
Yeah, I'm the hypest person at the party always. I'm like Nani and Nicole. I'm the life of the party wherever
always.
I go.
Always.
All right. So we got some 5-star reviews, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of them. You guys rule. First coming from BMF1314. So thank you very much. Who is on some sort of substance or something, because they said that they watched our episode 2 recap before Boston Rob on RHAP. So I don't know. You might want to get yourself checked out. No, I'm just kidding. That's awesome. Thank you. And then CWH25, 5 stars. Thank you so much. Penny Lane 3. Again, 5 stars.
Penny Lane.
A++++, which my mom would be very happy to hear. So thank you for the good grade. And Do What You Wish, which I hope is a play on Do What You Love. Thank you. And then SSU Prof doubling down on his 5-star review from the RHAP wrap-ups. No, the wrap-ups feed. Yes, I recognize your handles. Thank you. And then
Stalker.
Apples. I'm only a stalker if I'm stalking myself. These are our 5-star reviews. And then apples and oranges and bananas, rounding it out with another 5-star review. Thank you so much. If you want to leave us a review of any amount of stars, you can go to robhasawebsite.com/challenge iTunes and subscribe. Thank you. You guys also got us up into the rankings on, what is it, TV and film on iTunes. That's ridiculous. Thank you so much.
Yeah, we peaked. I saw we peaked at like 17 or 16 or something like that at one point, which is pretty.
I saw us higher than that.
Oh, okay. Even better.
So thank you.
Wish I got like notifications every time we were like moved up a level. But then we might get notification when we move down, and I wouldn't want that.
It's very fickle because it's based on subscribers. So it was just a good sign to start the season off with.
Yeah, but for all those newbies, welcome aboard. Hopefully you don't stop listening right now.
I also saw Star Wars. If you'd like to talk to me about that privately, you can tweet me.
That's a bold statement. You might get some. You might get interesting tweets now.
That's fine. I'm down to talk. I'm a new fan.
DTD.
Yeah. All right. So it's Judgment Day, and we're the judge and the jury.
The one thing I am disappointed about is the fact that this episode was named the Camillinator, and this was like a C- version of the Camillinator.
Yeah. I think Larissa was worried about the bar being set high for her. I think this episode title really set the bar high for Camilla, and she did not deliver in the way that the title suggests.
Yeah. I mean, considering the first time the Camillinator appeared, it was like one of the great moments in challenge history. So don't be going back to that well so quickly when she's just walking around with a towel on her head, yelling at people not to vote in her sister.
Oh, I keep meaning to record that drop and send it to you for a holiday gift. I will eventually.
Please do.
All right. So this opens with the Great Divide, the draft between Cara Marie and Jamie. And quick, do you think that this is how the team should have been divided, A, in a draft, and B, determined by the winners of the challenge before?
Yeah, I think this is probably the best way to do it. I mean, I don't know how else they would have picked captains. I guess they could have picked them randomly, but I think it would have been fine just having the winners do it. And it made sense to have the bloodlines go on the opposite teams based on the rules they have set up.
Yeah, I thought in terms of that, like the way that the teams went, where you just pick a veteran and then that moves their bloodline to the opposite team, I thought that was really interesting, because you're not only considering who's on your team, but which bloodline would you be okay with getting if Kara picked the veteran, let's say, because I think Jamie was the only one considering that. I don't think Kara was doing a good job of remembering that the bloodline automatically went to the other team.
Jamie was considering it, but also Vince was also considering it as the draft moved on. I noticed they had some counsel between them two when he was helping out. So I think those two had a pretty good sense of what to do.
And then I don't know if you caught this, but when Anissa is like, them of all people, like, well, that might be true. I don't know if it's a good look for your social game right before the draft happens.
Like, oh my God, these captains suck. But I mean, who would have been that much better? Like, I know, I guess it was Kara really that bad of a decision maker. I don't really remember that in like her history.
I think we've seen Kara like crumble under pressure like this before. I don't know. I got what Anissa was saying. Like, I understood that you'd want someone like a little more self-assured to be picking. I don't know. I think overall the picks were fine, but I thought Kara made some mistakes in the beginning.
So what did you think of Bananas being the first pick?
I think feeding into Johnny's ego is not a bad idea. Like, I think in this situation, if you're Kara and you have some tension between you and Johnny, but you want him on your team, the way to do it is to pick a first.
Right. Yeah. And I did like her rationale of like, you know, keep your friends close, keep your enemies closer, which I think we touched on last week. But it is interesting because all that really does is it puts Vince on the other team. So it's not like that in terms of ability. I don't know if it's that much of an advantage, but I think Banana's experience definitely is like a good thing to have on your team. So I don't know if it's really the best pick, but I don't mind it as much as some other people that I've seen.
Well, I also think that I think Vince is like overrated in terms of performance. And I mean, I know we've seen him. Mm-hmm. We have the benefit of having seen this challenge that then comes up. But I think there's no question that Bananas is a better person to have on your team than Vince, like by 1,000% experience and athletic ability. I mean, Vince has got some weight on him, you know, and I don't mind saying that considering that he says that about Larissa and Camilla. I'm not afraid to call out his appearance.
Right. No, that's definitely fair. That's totally fair. And what I was saying about Vince was Jamie was debating at one point, but I think between Nani and like Kellyanne, and he was saying that no, draft Nani because Nicole sucks and Anthony's good. So Vince stuff was a little bit in the ear of Jamie as the draft moved along.
Right, but I mean, I don't think he like Jamie comes out of the gate picking Leroy, which I think should have been the overall pick on everyone's team, because Leroy gives you a beast, gives you that experience, and then sends what we are assuming to be not a great athlete, Candace, to the other team. I mean, I think that's what should have been in the minds of every single person, is pick first the strong people with a weak bloodline.
But the interesting thing about doing that is it opens you up to then lose that person very quickly, because the fact that if Candace goes into elimination, then there's a decent chance she loses. And then all that does is knock Leroy off your own team.
Well, at this stage, they don't know that how it's going to work.
I guess that's true.
So that's true. If I were just like purely picking like, OK, I want a strong team, that's what I would do. You're right. That's like it, to have the foresight of how this is going to go. You want. But you also then want people who are going to be, I'm trying to think.
It's interesting.
You're not going to be a target. You want some of the weak people so that they will get picked off before you. Potentially.
Yeah. And I think someone mentioned this in the comments of our questions also. It's like not even that much of an incentive to win these challenges anymore, because really, no matter what, you're either going to be definitely on up for elimination if it's a guy's day, if you're a guy team, or not if you're a girl. Like, there's no real, the only time you're safe is if you're a same sex team and it's not your elimination day.
Yeah, I agree. It's like, even if you win, you could still go home, which is just ridiculous. And we'll get into a question about that later that I want to say right now, but I don't have the sheets in front of me. Why do you think Kara picks Tony in her number two pick spot?
It's a good question. I think she views Tony as a pretty significant upgrade over Shane, so maybe there's a decent gap there. So I think that could be a reason why. Maybe Tony and Kara have a decent relationship. I don't know.
I was so shocked at that pick, because we had been Tony as, you know, not Mr. Popular in the house, and to get second pick over. I mean, it's funny because and now when I'm watching the show, I think about what you would think watching the show. And when TJ like makes a point to redefine veteran for the sake of the draft, right, of like, and a veteran is anyone who has been on Are You the One? Like, that's a veteran. So but to pick Tony, who is a rookie compared to the other veterans, over anyone else, I don't know. It was shocking to me.
Why was, when Thomas picked, why was he referred to as champ? Was that because he won the last elimination?
Yeah, that's what I thought. But speaking of Thomas, were you surprised, based on their relationship, how low down on Kara's list he was?
A little bit, yeah. That was a little shocking, because I thought she would definitely want him on his team as a person for her. So yeah, that's a good point. I'm not sure why she waited so long to draft him.
Unless she was considering, like, maybe Jamie will take him and then I have another ally on the opposite team. Maybe. Because it is important to have allies on the opposite team, whether or not you know how it's going to work.
Mm-hmm. I found it interesting that Dario and Rocky were the last pick because they're basically like the same person. So it doesn't really matter which one you take.
Exactly. And in that instance, I'd rather have Anissa over Rihanna any day, and then give me whichever identical twin.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
And one thing I thought here, and this may be me reading too much into it, when Kara picks Camilla and Camilla's walking down with Larissa and saying it's our last walk together, Larissa's like, that you know of, which I thought like indicates to me that she's a smart player, that she's not just assuming that these teams are it till the end.
Yeah, I got that sense also, that she knows that something else might be up, or that this isn't just the only way this game's going to go for the rest of the season.
Yeah. Andrew Kirk wants to know, what was more surprising, Kara picking Bananas first or Kara not picking Leroy, giving her cousin Candace?
I think I don't think she really fully understood the rules as well. So I wasn't that surprised that she picked Bananas. So I guess, what was the least surprising? I guess her picking Bananas.
I think it was surprising just based on the relationship and based on what we saw from them episode one. Like, I guess that collusion blew over, that Bananas is right now at least not talking about that and letting that go for the immediate future. I'm kind of surprised we actually never saw anything about that after that happened.
Right. I just think having Bananas experience on your team is definitely worth it, because of how, like, even like we saw with the bug eating challenge, like the things he thinks of, oh, I'm gonna smash him with my head. Like, he just has like a way of thinking to do these challenges where it just really is to your benefit to have him on your team and using his mind for your gain. Even if it's not really that much for your gain anymore, but at that point they didn't really know that.
Yeah, I totally agree. I wasn't shocked. I had really not much of a reaction with Bananas, but just looking back, like, for Kara to make such an aggressive move episode one against him, and now he's her first pick in terms of a teammate. But
right.
In terms of how the teams shook out, do you want to run them down real quick? Or?
Yeah, sure. So the red team, which is Kara's team, that goes Bananas, Candace, Tony, Brianna, Corey, Nicole, Camilla, Anthony, Thomas, Rihanna, and Daria. And then Jamie's team, which is the blue team, goes Vince, Leroy, Shane, Jenna, Mitch, Nani, Larissa, Kellyanne, Steven, Anissa, and Rafi.
Now, did it surprise you that they had all, and I know this was just like because the red team ends up winning the challenge, that they are doing all this talking like, oh my God, the blue team is stacked. The blue team is so stacked. We're screwed. How did this happen? I don't think the blue team is that stacked.
I was thinking the same thing. Like, I know that the red team probably has maybe like the three weakest people. I mean, like with Candace, Brianna, and there was someone else, Nicole, but probably like the three weakest people in the game. So like that could be why. But like overall, I mean, they like Corey's really good. Anthony's really good. Dario's like, I didn't see like that big a gap. And obviously having Bananas, I think, is a big step up. And Kara's the best female in the game. So it's like, I don't know really where the big gap was that they were seeing.
I think they have three strong people right out of the gate: Jamie, Vince, Leroy. Maybe I'll give half credit for Nani, you know, and that's kind of it. Half credit for Rafi. And then the rest kind of remains to be seen. And you have the Kara, Johnny, Corey, Camilla, Anthony, half for Dario, half for Tony, you know, these kind of like potential people to be good at the challenges. So I don't know why we were supposed to buy that blue was stacked.
Yeah, I didn't get that either. Yeah, it was probably all just like a setting up for the underdog win that they were going to have. But I mean, it was just a weird setup.
Another great moment is when Jamie inexplicably picks Jenna with his second pick. Even TJ is surprised. He's like, Jenna? All right. Okay.
I guess he just views Brianna as so useless that Jenna's a significant upgrade over her. Which I guess I kind of see. I don't know if she's like that much of an upgrade, though. I think Jenna's pretty bad also.
Well, maybe the way the team shook out, maybe I'm wrong, that Jamie's strategy was not worth it, that he should have. I mean, he probably could have waited a pick or two. I don't think Kara was going to pick Jenna if he really felt that strongly about not having Brianna. I think reading the room, he could have picked one or two more strong people before he threw Brianna to that side.
Right. And which is, as we saw with the way this draft goes, like not having a few of the weaker bloodlines is not necessarily even a bad thing, because if they go home, then it just weakens the other team. So,
which TJ alludes to, your fate is still tied to your bloodline, lols. Okay, bye. So I feel like he's just like trolling them now.
Right. He likes to send them off to their merry ways, thinking very hard about what might happen.
So we have an interesting conversation. I mean, well, Camilla and Larissa have an uninteresting conversation to me.
I was about to say, you were talking about Camilla and Larissa, because that was not interesting.
No, I was just hopping right over that into the conversation between Bananas and Kara.
Right. Them kind of maybe foreshadowing a little bit about running a final together, them saying, you know, this could be very therapeutic. Look at all we've been through. Now we're on the same team. It is very interesting that they're the two head honchos on their squad.
So Pia Virolainen on Twitter, you're foreshadowing this question about foreshadowing, says, are Kara and Maria and Bananas headed to the finals per the foreshadow this week? And I think this is more foreshadowing a split, like a reshuffle, because Banana says he thinks these are going to be the teams until the end. And so then they start talking about the final. Mm-hmm. I almost think this is more like when Bananas is saying, expect the most ridiculous, gnarliest screw up, like mix up ever twist. And I think this is more like MTV laughing at them for thinking that this is it until the end. And Alex Panda Moran wants to know, how long do you think the format will remain with the two teams?
I'm kind of under the impression it's going to last almost, and I think maybe it's like the week before the final, and then like the final elimination will be a paired thing.
Right. Yeah, I definitely think, as you speculated in the preview, that the final will be run by the bloodlines. Otherwise, why do they care about having the bloodlines together?
Nearly 1,000%. It's going to be the final's going to be bloodlines. It's just a question of, do they go all the way to the end and then split them up again? Or is there going to be like an elimination beforehand?
Right. I'm just saying that I think this conversation with Bananas is sort of to like get the audience thinking like, okay, like we'll settle in. We'll see them run it together. And then it's like when they get torn apart, they'll be like, what again? Okay. Oh. Anything else until the challenge?
Not really. No, I mean, we can just, yeah, that was basically all I had. So let's go to Meet Me Halfway.
Yeah, so it's a girls' elimination day, which the reminder just reminded me how much I can't stand this format of it just arbitrarily feeling like you're safe or you're not safe. But I want to know what you think of this challenge, because I thought it was great for the shots of them like triple backflipping into the water. Mm-hmm. And it was like terrifying. Like and there was a strategic element in terms of like knowing when to jump when the swing is moving. In terms of watchability, I thought this was pretty slow.
The only issue I have with it is that I wish they did this a little bit later in the game when there's less people, because it is very cool to see like every time they spin out, and I think it was like Larissa, whoever was the last one to fall, and they did like the super slow-mo, like that's like a really cool shot. Like that's something like the MTV challenge does really well with these challenges. But, you know, there's still like what, like 13 people on each team or something like that. So seeing these people go over and over again, it's like, you know, maybe they could have done like one of those like hyper fast forward things to kind of get us quickly past some of it. Cause yeah, it did get a little tiresome after a while, but like, yeah, they did this like with like 8 or 9 on each side, I think would have been a lot better.
I still think just going back and forth, like I would have liked to see maybe 5 swinging platforms in between the two stable platforms, and you have to jump to each one just one time, like one pass, and make it across, like those kinds of things. We've seen that before where it's just like a really extended course that they have to go between. I thought it was like pretty compact, and to just jump back and forth, I'm not trying to underestimate or undersell how terrifying this is or how difficult it is, but, and that's maybe what you're saying about having it reduce the concentration of people on both sides, because it was hard to tell like who had a flag and which side they needed to get to. It just, I got a little or even cheesy. If
they, I could have would have liked it almost better, is because I like when they do these type of things and you're kind of relying on someone else. So if they had like that middle platform be bigger, and maybe if you had that two people go at the same time, I thought that could have been very interesting, because then it's like you're relying on someone else to like hit the platform right, and you need the momentum to go both ways. So that could have been interesting also.
Yeah, I think they're definitely, it's definitely showing that the MTV challenge department is out of practice in terms of making team challenges.
Yeah, I mean, because as Banana said in that conversation with Carl, like this is the first time that they're doing like a strictly all, like I know in free agents they had like team challenges, but those were like varied week to week as to what actually was going on. So this is the first time in a long time that it's going to be week to week team challenges.
I was impressed though when we saw the red team perform, that there was no real hesitation from anyone on the red team. I mean, I would have hesitated for sure. So I don't know if it was cut out or just to make them look more dominant, but from what we saw, like everyone really just like put on their big boy and big girl pants and went across.
Yeah, and I think like I don't want to like blow more smoke up his butt, but I think having Bananas on your team is like one of those big things, because he's, for all his shit, he is a pretty good motivator in these types of situations. So he knows what to tell people to do at the exact moment. He's like, all right, guys, just do exactly what I say and you'll be fine. And he's like, when you get on the platform, jump right away. Get on the platform, jump right away. And I think having that, as opposed to having Vince be like this cocky, arrogant guy who's never done anything, is a big plus.
I think that's a little bit of fan fiction there. I mean, Bananas goes first and realizes that he screwed up, that you need the momentum and you need to jump right away.
Exactly,
so it's not just like, right. But anyone got that from just going. Like we saw the blue team try to enable, I mean, they underperformed, but they tried to use that strategy too, just from watching. I don't think it's like, oh, Bananas has this amazing experience, so he knows what to do right away. And everyone has a fear of heights and it's just gone because Bananas motivated them. I mean, we did not see that story.
Yes, that's fair. A little bit.
One thing, though, that's really interesting about this challenge is we see Leroy and we see Kellyanne cheering for their bloodline, which is definitely an interesting, I don't want to say challenge first, because I can't support it, but we don't often see the other team cheering this loudly for the opposing team while they're performing.
The only thing I can think of is that maybe because this was a challenge where, like, if you screw up, you can actually get hurt. They don't want to see, like, their bloodline fall 30 feet and land in the water. So maybe they're like, I don't want to do that. Like if this was like a normal, like just, I don't know, like race and puzzle type challenge or something like that, they wouldn't really be cheering for them. Like maybe they just didn't want to see them fall and like get drastically hurt, like Tony eventually did.
Well, I also think it's your bloodline. You want to see them do well. And you know that somehow your fate is tied to their fate. So you want them to do well. Like I wasn't surprised that they were cheering. I just thought it was an interesting new element to the challenge, because it's a bloodline season as opposed to a regular season.
Right. But then what was so interesting is that it didn't really go the other way. Like when blue was going, red was openly cheering when everyone was falling in.
Well, so Megan Flannery has a question about this. She's asked, when Vinny was competing and clearly struggling towards the end of the challenge due to lack of momentum and distance, did you notice how the camera kept panning to Johnny? He seemed almost gleeful watching Vinny struggle.
I think there's probably a sense of he doesn't want his cousin to upstage him. So him struggling, I think, is something Bananas is not would be that up against.
I think it's a product of the nature of their relationship, right? Like they're cousins. They've been in competition. They're similar age. They're both big dudes. So it's like funny to watch Vinny struggle on this. Whereas Leroy has taken a more protective role of Candace. Kellyanne and Anthony have a loving relationship, not that kind of gentle competition. So I just think, I didn't think this was like, oh, Bananas is such a scumbag. Like I thought they're like, it's, they have like a healthy family rivalry,
right? I feel like probably Corey and Mitch are probably having the same type of dynamic. I don't remember seeing their cutaways of what they were probably doing, but they probably weren't like openly cheering for each other, I don't think.
Yeah, well, it's interesting with Corey and Mitch because I think Corey has that like big brother feeling over Mitch from what we've seen. But who knows? I mean, we didn't get every single person's reaction. It's a question. When Candace takes a hard fall and like busts her face open, did that iodine bring you back to the nurse's office? Because I saw that brown liquid in that bottle and I could feel the sting.
Yeah, definitely. But I was a little disappointed because, of course, MTV teased this up with, you know, like someone getting into an ambulance and driving away. And it's just Candace getting like 8 stitches on her lip. So that was a little unsatisfactory.
I don't know. I think they delivered with the
Tony thing, but it was weird.
Medical situations this episode.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. But they had like this whole thing of like, I think it was on this season on the challenge. Like, oh, someone's going to go in an ambulance, going to drive away. And it turns out to just be Candace getting stitches.
One question, when Vince goes across and he's hanging by his arms, it's like a very impressive attempt at a save. But at the end of the day, isn't he just running down the time?
Well, I think that's eventually what people started yelling at him. They're like, just fall already. So, I mean, you gotta give him a few seconds at least try to get up because you don't want to lose a flag because that's pretty big. But yeah, at a certain point, 3, 4, or 5 seconds in, just drop.
I have a the first of many fantasy draft questions.
Okay.
Does the entire blue team get docked for DQing?
No, I only gave the DQs to the people who fell.
Okay, interesting. Just wondering. Cause they got I just thought it was like funny because they get I'm not arguing for it. I was just like this is interesting. Like the whole team gets stopped because too many people DQ'd. Did the whole team DQ?
No. Well, no, the only reason why they got stopped was because they just lost. Like if they went first, they wouldn't have gotten stopped at that point.
All right. So Keith wants to know, were you guys as impressed as I was with Shame's performance? Kid had mad hops. He didn't flop on the ground like every other dude.
Yeah, he killed it. He almost did it in a running motion? Like he just like landed on the middle platform, like just didn't even stop and just kept going. Yeah, Shane did very well.
He seemed to be kind of fearless. Like, and I think he's trying to make sure people don't view him as weak or a liability because of his size. Like even when he gets picked, he's like, you have three big dudes, but I'm strong. Like don't underestimate me kind of thing. So I think he wanted to show up and he definitely did.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there were a few people who surprised through this challenge.
Who?
The three girls that we talked about or that I talked about maybe the weakest people. I think they all made it, like Brianna, Candace, who else? Rihanna. Oh, I guess Rihanna fell. But those
two. Nicole, but.
Yeah. And Nicole fell. All right. So just Brianna and Candace. But who would have thought they wouldn't have fallen. So good job by them.
One thing is if I'm ever in an emergency medical situation, the last thing I want is a medic to speculate, maybe the bones in your back broke.
Maybe. I don't know. It could be. Let's take you to the hospital and go find out.
Am I paralyzed, sir? Like, I was just like so shocked that this is like the medical advice. And I know there's like a language barrier and whatever, but it's like potentially you have broken bones in your back.
How scary must that be to have to go to like a hospital in a foreign country when you have absolutely no idea what's going on?
I think about that all the time. It's like on the rankings of things I would never want to deal with in a foreign country. It's like one, locked up abroad, and then two, any sort of emergency medical situation. Yeah. A close to.
Definitely close. Oh, man. Poor Tony.
So what do you think? One would argue karma's a bitch. but what do you make of the format of the voting in? So the losing team will have to vote someone in to go into the pit, and then the winning team will also have to vote in someone from the losing team.
I think this is probably how it has to go, right? How else could they possibly do it unless they just had the winning team pick both people? But I think you have to have some vote on the losing side.
It's just so crazy. Like the deliberations are going to get so good for the winning team because you are basically having to vote one of your own in by voting in their bloodline, and to have these conversations in front of people who have allegiances to the other team is so interesting.
Yeah, that's why I'm like really into the season, because the votes are not going to be straightforward at all. There's always going to be someone who's always going to be pissed about every single vote. It's not just gonna be the person going in that's going to be pissed. There's always going to be a connection to the bloodline, and there's always going to be layers of every single vote. So it's going to make everything is very muddy going forward.
Leroy is just so, so screwed. Because I think no matter what Candace does to show up in these challenges, it's not going to change people's initial impression that she's a beatable rookie. And to get Leroy out of the game by just sending Kara in against Candace, like, I'm not even thinking of what team people are on, but I'm just saying, like, sending a pretty strong woman in against Candace to get Leroy out is like, oh, he's so screwed.
Right. Yeah, but the thing is, like, let's say the red team loses next week and Candace is going in. Like, the blue team is, they're not going to want to throw in someone like Kara to beat her.
I don't think
so. They're going to want to throw in someone. Well, it wouldn't be next week. It would be in 2 weeks when it's another girls elimination, but you know what I mean?
I don't think this, I didn't even mean that, like, on a technicality. I don't mean next week. I don't mean the next elimination, but I just eventually, before the final, to be able to get Leroy out by just getting Candace out is so different than what we saw, like, last season or any other Leroy season. Like, Leroy is a monster in the eliminations, and the fact that he doesn't get to go at it himself and there's nothing he can do to control it is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, there's a very good chance Leroy doesn't see an elimination, because it wouldn't make any sense for him to see an elimination.
Oh, I'd say there's zero chance. It's just Candace will, in my opinion. Or, I mean, it's really testing Leroy's social game, which so far isn't going so well for him.
No, but the one thing he has going for him is that if Candace goes in, she's going to be going in against either, like, Brianna or Rihanna or someone like that, who she probably has a decent chance to go up against.
Well, why are you saying that?
Well, because if the only way that Candace goes in, it's because the red team loses and then they're going to want to vote in Candace that way Leroy goes home. The blue team's going to know that, so they're not going to want Leroy to go home, so they're going to vote in an also a weak girl for Candace to go up against.
Well, at which point are they going to start speculating that it's not going to be teams at the end and maybe you want to eat your own?
That won't happen, at least until near the very end. And even then, I don't think they're going to speculate that. You can't start thinking that way until, like, final seven, final six, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think Leroy and Candace are in immediate danger, except that, I mean, why don't you think that, I'm just trying to look at the teams, I haven't thought about this before. Why don't you think the red team would vote in Candace?
They would try to vote in Candace.
Oh, you're saying the blue team wouldn't. Okay, right. Okay, yeah. I was like, that makes sense.
The blue team would try to manipulate it so that Candace is going up against someone weak.
Yeah, but I also don't necessarily think that any of the people you name from the blue team are an easy win for Candace whatsoever.
No, absolutely not. But it's a lot better chance than her going up against, you know, like Camilla or Cara Maria.
Sure. All right. So this really pissed me off in the blue deliberation, and I know you're not going to care about this, but considering Vince's performance and his position in the game as Bananas' partner, he needs to just, like, sit down, sit down and, like, STFU. Instead, he's leading the charge against Larissa, going off, like, who would you want at the end in the final with you? Like, who do you want next to you? And it's, like, not some big-ass dude who can't get his butt up on the platform.
No, I'm totally with you. This was awful. Him saying, let's go performance-based. Like, dude, you fell in. Like, if this was guy's elimination, you wouldn't want this to be performance-based.
I hate Vince. Like, I hate Vince so much, and we'll get more into it in the after show, but, like, Vince is everything bad about Bananas without any of the redeeming funny personality and real ability to back it up.
Yeah, and without, like, so, like, this was Bananas before he won stuff, when everyone hated Bananas. But then when you win stuff, you could do stuff because you could back it up. Right now, Vince hasn't backed up anything.
Even then, I think even Bananas day one had a better personality. Like, Vince is just like a blob of arrogance, and it's so irritating and hard to watch. And I hate that the challenge is loving them.
Yeah, it is. It's interesting because he's supposed to be one of the people that comes back next season. So, I mean, they like him for some reason.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The challenge is loving him, yeah. And I hate it. All right. So the votes fall towards Larissa pretty much to get rid of Camilla. I mean, I think this was the idea that you'd be able to get rid of a weak person on your team while also taking a shot at a big target.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And I thought this was a smart move.
Is it too early?
No, I don't think it's too early because, I mean, as good as Camilla is, having her against you, I don't really, I know she wants to pretend like she can make a big move to come back at you. But I mean, she can't come back at everyone. Like, everyone was voting in Larissa. So what is she really going to do about it?
It's also like her. The other fear would be that it's like her people would also be against you. But that kind of fell through because Camilla, first of all, her people were not supporting her, bananas, etc. And the people who were, like Nani, were turned off by the way that Camilla attacked them. So,
right. I mean, that was
it really only hurt Camilla.
Yeah. Classic Camilla and Nani fight. They're arguing over something that didn't even happen. Camilla's mad at Nani for voting in her sister, but she didn't vote in her sister, but they still fight about it.
All right. But in a way, like not voting her in is different than leading a charge for someone else. Like Nani, like, threw a vote to Anissa and Shane throws a vote to Jenna, but nobody's like banding together to actually pick another target and make a case for them.
Right. Right.
And then in the red deliberate, oh, I'm sorry. Kristen Kinnar asks, could Camilla's social game get any worse than it was last night?
Yeah, it wasn't great. Her basically shoving her opinion down everyone's throat is not exactly the best way to get things that you want. I think that falls in the BR rules.
And we're definitely seeing a difference between, I think we touched on this before, when Camilla and Tony were, quote, fighting, Camilla handled herself way better, more reasonably, and was like, who are you? You know, that kind of thing. Here, when Camilla's actually hurt and actually cares about what's going on, she just is a loose cannon.
Yeah. And it's also just to the point of, like, if she was being thrown in, she wouldn't really, I don't think she would care as much because she's very confident in her ability that she could just come back and win. But she knows her sister's, you know, not that great. And there's a very good chance that she's going to lose and that's going to blow up her game also. So that plays a big part in it.
Well, I also think like she wouldn't be going in. Like that's the thing is like she's used to getting the bananas free ride kind of thing. You know, like she expected to come in here. I have great relationships. I'm a veteran. There's so many rookies and it's too soon to take a swing at me. And now they're taking a swing at her and she's having a very similar reaction as some other vets we've seen in the past who expect to kind of get a free ride to the finals.
Right. Right.
All right. So the red deliberation. This pissed me off, too. Everyone's pissing me off, as usual.
So it's too early in the day to be pissed off.
So Daria wants to throw Nani in. And Nicole's big argument is, I'm like the lightest girl here. Yeah. You could easily carry me when I can't make it through the final.
That was the most preposterous thing I think I've heard in a challenge in a long time. She's like, who else do you think you could carry on your back to a final? That's something you really need to think about. How is that something you should think about?
But Dario agrees.
I think everyone's just so afraid of Nicole that they're just going to like smile and nod after something she says.
I don't know. I think some of the men on this show have such an ego and such a bad attitude about the women's ability that would appeal to them. I don't think Nicole was thinking that way, but I do think, and I'm not saying this is why Nani didn't get thrown in, but I definitely do think that some of these guys would be willing to consider that as a part of their strategy.
To be fair, the only person that I could recall that had to be carried on someone's back was Wes. So that's interesting.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
Or Zach, but just like sheer math. Maybe Laurel should have considered that.
Exactly. But can we talk about Nicole's makeup here? Because she looked like the clown murderer from America Horror Story.
I'm not willing to take shots at people's appearance unless they take shots at someone else's, i.e. Vince. But you're not alone because Jemmy... Oh, you say, but no but for me. Okay. But the only but is that I don't want to feel Nani's wrath because Jemmy took a shot at Nicole's appearance on Twitter and it did not go well for her.
I'm sure it did not.
So it's very confusing the order, but oh God, where is this? She said something that I couldn't even find. She said something about Nicole's makeup. Because in reference to people like doubting her ability, she made some kind of comment about her ability to do makeup.
Mm-hmm.
And Nani came for her passive aggressively. So she was like, girl, bye. Oh, I'm sorry. Jemmy said, Nicole seems really capable of putting a lot of makeup on. ... And Nani retweeted that and said, girl, bye. You would be dying for her to beat your face. # makeup artist. # that's my cuzzo. And Nani also said, former cast throwing shade at our relatives and they'll never understand the feeling of bringing blood into this experience. Show some respect. Which, Jimmy has been on the show with someone that's very personal to her and has gone through a lot with that person. So I don't know that Jimmy is like the real person to come for saying they don't understand personal relationships on the show.
Right. Yeah, that's definitely fair. Yeah, she's had her own spurt of history there.
So Jimmy starts saying there's a double standard about what men and women can say to be funny. Men get away with it while women are accused of being shady and jealous. So we'll put that theory to the test. If Brian gets away with making a comment about Nicole's makeup, then Jimmy is correct.
I don't like this theory. That means if I'm wrong, people are going to come after me.
And Jimmy also says it was a simple joke because she said we didn't know what she was capable of. I never insulted her looks at all. And then Jimmy shifts gears and starts saying my favorite line, which is, I'm not passive aggressive, I'm just aggressive aggressive. And so Jimmy says, I need people to understand what passive aggressive means before they attempt to use it in a sentence. My comment was anything but passive aggressive. So decide if you're sorry or if you're aggressive, but you can't be both, Jimmy.
She likes to play both sides of the fence.
Against herself.
It's a weird move, but that's what she's going for.
Anyway, yeah, Nicole has been making, has been using white eyeliner generously this season, but she's got skills. I mean, look, I can't do that. So good for her.
It's a shame because she's like, she's obviously like a beautiful girl, but like that makeup is just not a good look. But
it's a shame.
It's a shame.
I'm sure she's very concerned about what we have to say about her physical appearance. I'm sure she does fine.
Got
to
get the wrap up beauty approval.
I don't even think we have the authority to give that.
Of course not. I have no authority at anything.
All right. So here's a question. Oh, first of all, speaking of the beauty approval, Johnny's hat is like the love child of a cowboy hat and a fedora. Like, where did he get that? Is that another Tommy Bahama thing that like Cahuta left behind?
Maybe he puts his GoPro in it or something.
I mean, That doesn't have the structure to support that. It's like it's made of hay.
Hey.
What?
I was
all right, Brian just gave up, so let's move on. Okay, Edward Morris wants to know, should Nani really be so fixated on Dario and Rafi?
I mean, they were tossing her name out. Why wouldn't she be upset? It was just a bad job by them to like toss out her name but then not follow through with it.
Yeah, you don't want to be taking strikes, especially, and this is the problem, in a room where all of the information is going to go directly to the person and themselves. You know, maybe in this stage of the challenge, if it wasn't Bloodlines, if someone threw out Nani's name, people would probably go back to her, but maybe no one would, it wouldn't get back to her. Mm-hmm. When you know it's going to go directly from the Bloodline's mouth to Nani's ear, maybe just don't say anything. But Dario and Rafi, they both don't understand that they don't have the authority or the relationships to get what they want in the game. And that's why I think Nani shouldn't be so dead set on Dario and Rafi, because they don't have the power to back up what they want done. So I think she's going to get distracted by these like small fish.
Yeah, no, that's definitely fair. Although it seems like there could be a little bit of a rookie alliance a little bit with Dario and like the Tony pair and Steven and Thomas pair and the Corey and Mitch pair. Like those four could start to be working together.
They could, but I don't know. And we see it just in terms of the blue team taking a shot at Camilla and the Nani and Kellyanne's of the world just kind of throwing votes around. But yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. I don't know if they were leading the charge. I don't know if let's say Anissa, Nani, the veterans didn't want Larissa, not Larissa, if they were putting someone in that they really didn't want and they had a strong opinion about it, it would have been more interesting to see if they would have been able to band together against them, or if they just kind of let it happen and let it fall on the rookie shoulders because they wanted it to, but they didn't want to take responsibility.
Right. We'll have to see how that all plays out.
So Candace comes back in with 10 stitches and a broken toe, which the broken toe is pretty impressive.
Yeah, and I love Shane, of course, being the one to greet her. Shane's the best. Just his, like, it's the way he's like, oh, you got 10 stitches. I don't know, just his sass is great.
Yeah, no, Shane is definitely, I hope someone will see in the future. And then when TJ came in for deliberation, I, like, stupidly thought it was about Tony. I was like, oh, TJ's here. And I was like, oh, duh, he always comes every week.
Right. I was surprised he didn't provide a little bit of a further update. I guess he said he was fine, so what can you do?
Yeah, so I don't know. Do you think after we saw such definitive deliberations, did we need them to vote?
Yeah, because, I mean, you can always say who you're going to vote, but you still need to, like, make it official, official.
I guess editing-wise, I wish there was then more left up to debate, like, potentially thinking that people would maybe change their vote because of Camilla. I don't know. I just felt like that was another boring element where we just saw definitively that Larissa was going to go in, and then we got to see everyone vote Larissa in. It was just like, okay, like, could we get a little bit more intrigue, like a little bit more of a reason to care what people are going to say?
Yeah, but I feel like a lot of the time the actual vote isn't usually up to a lot of, like, cliffhanger debate. Like, normally it's like through the deliberation, you're going to know who's going in.
Yeah, I just thought it was boring. Like, I thought it was unnecessary to see both. Like, I liked it better when, I mean, it's different when it's a pair and you can just come in and say, like, we've picked these people, then I don't mind more of the deliberation. But when we're going back to everyone voting people in, it's whether or not it's been the same in the past. Like, I just think it's currently right. Pretty boring.
And also, again, like, because they're doing like a team thing and everyone votes individually, there's like 26 people voting as opposed right. to like if this was a pair thing. Yeah, there's only like 8 people voting at a time.
That's one thing, or either one does well. And Survivor, it's like you only see like 1 or 2 people's votes and then they just announce who went in. Yeah. But I definitely wouldn't want to make it a private vote. I'm not suggesting that.
Right. Yeah, they haven't done private votes in a long time.
All right. So Vince takes a direct shot at Camilla with his vote, which I thought was so unnecessary. What did you make of that? Should he have just said, like, I'm going with the team, Larissa?
Yeah, definitely. Especially because the relationship that Camilla has with Bananas, like, they're pretty close. Like, you would think Bananas would have, like, been like, you know, if you're voting for Camilla's sister, don't be pissing off Camilla, because it's all that's going to do is come back at me or us. So, yeah, he doesn't know how to play the politic game at all. And that is very bad for them, too.
And then at this stage, I checked the time and there was only 16 minutes left in the episode. And I was like, okay, we're definitely not getting a pit result.
Right.
But then the red team, I was cracking up because Jenna's had some great lines this season where she's like, at this point, I wouldn't be surprised if Brianna said my name.
That was actually very funny. That was well done. Yeah. Right, which I thought there was a chance she might have actually.
I did too. When she said that, I was crying. But good on Brianna for not. I mean, at the bare minimum, not voting in her own bloodline.
But then I think Jenna's explanation for voting in Larissa was she's seen the least amount of eliminations. It's like, Jenna, you just saw your first one last week. So you've seen one more than her.
Yeah, honestly, when any rookie says, like, it was even with Jill, like, when any rookie justifies voting in a rookie by saying they're a rookie, it's like, really? It's just like Vince saying, oh, based on challenge performance, I'm voting you in. Well, what was your performance?
Right.
All right. So it's going to be Jenna versus Larissa at some point. Allison Smith wants to know, what type of eliminations do you think Larissa would have advantages in over Jenna and vice versa?
Things that if there's any type of thing where the height comes into play, Jenna obviously has a huge advantage. So anything that's height neutral will help Larissa.
What's height neutral?
I think the biggest thing is any type of strategic thinking type challenge, Larissa has a major advantage. Any type of puzzle, anything like that, she has a major advantage.
So I was thinking that too, but we really don't know Larissa's skill set.
We know Jenna's though, and she was confused about lifting ropes over poles.
Right, no, I'm not saying that Jenna has an advantage for sure, but we don't know. That's the problem with this question, is we don't know what Larissa could potentially be good at. I think anything physical is a height advantage. So even we've seen, like, in Hall Brawl or whatever, we've seen in things where Kahuta has gone up against a beast or small people have gone up against big people, and we try to say, like, oh, they're more agile, oh, they can duck. At the end of the day, I think the height has it in anything physical for the most part. Mm-hmm. Even in those, that rope thing, I mean, it was definitely an advantage for Jenna's height. Christina could barely pop the rope at a certain point.
Right.
I think any gross food eating, we know that Jenna cannot do.
That too.
And really, in terms of the puzzle, anything where the sidelines can help, I think Larissa will have an advantage. Because yeah, I do think Bananas and Nani and whoever will come through, Camilla will come through in helping Larissa over Jenna.
And just Jenna would just get very flustered if she has to, like, listen to like 10 different people shouting at her. So that would definitely hurt her.
So, but I really do think Jenna is building confidence by the minute. And it may be too much confidence, but overconfidence in some of the things she said that are just ridiculous.
I'm leaning towards overconfidence, yeah.
But I don't know that the flusteredness will be as much of an issue because she does have this like random self-assuredness. Mm-hmm. Renizi Baby wants to know, do you think the rookies of this challenge are wasting their power? Bananas could be taken out early in this format and doesn't have a strong alliance. If all of the Are You the One, Corey, Tony, Tom, and the Bloodlines got together, they could take him out by having the majority of the vote.
Well, I mean, they could try to take him out, but again, this isn't like also Survivor where if you vote someone in, like someone still has to go in and then beat Bananas, and which I don't think
is Vince,
which it doesn't seem to be likely. And really, I mean, these guys have only been up for elimination one time, so it's not like they've wasted opportunities. So I mean, next week they can try to do something to vote one of them in.
I also think they're really using their power. Like, if Brianna and Jenna got voted in again, in a way, I guess the team voting in Jenna could potentially be wasting their power because they're giving Camilla the best chance of staying. But I think the blue team like took a direct hit at the veterans here and were using their power. So we'll see.
Right.
Emily Zitterkopf, is it clear that the person who lost and the person who has voted have to compete in the pit, or will they get to choose who they want to compete like they did the first 2 weeks?
I mean, I guess anything's possible, but I feel pretty certain that's the people voted in that have to compete.
Yeah, I think
but they didn't really specify, I guess. That's true.
Well, we got a soundbite of Leroy emphasizing that there would be nothing he could do if Candace was sent in, which is really, I think, trying to clear this up. But what a turn of events that would be if Camilla, after all of this, gets to fight her own way. But I think it's very clear you're voting in one person to the pit and the other one will go home if that person doesn't,
because if the Bloodlines, if you switch, then Camilla is doing elimination against someone from her own team, so that wouldn't,
which is interesting. It's like, are you know, obviously you're going to try to take out someone from your own team over yourself, though,
right?
Like, I don't think that's that crazy.
Yeah, I guess so. I just seems like, by the way the format is set up, it wouldn't go down that way,
right? Nick Sabetta, do all the preseason ads featuring Zach in bed with Jenna essentially spoil the fact that the next episode isn't going to start with her and Brianna going home?
That's probably true. Yeah. But there's also the possibility this elimination just doesn't happen. That's definitely a possibility.
Well, I think it's been widely speculated that Abe and his brother are going to come in. So let's assume the episode starts with Tony going home next week. I don't think they're going to say, okay, that was an elimination, so you're all safe. Like, they're going to replace Tony and Shane.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think they're not going to replace them, and then someone else gets medevaced, and then Abe and his brother get replaced. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to replace. This is the replacement, I think. Mm-hmm. That said, I think it's possible that the show opens and some, like, maybe it's been speculated that, like, maybe people have to come in and compete to be the replacement. So maybe Zach comes in at the beginning of the next episode and they have that moment in bed and then Jenna goes home. I don't know that it's for sure, you know, a certainty. I don't think it's a certainty, let's say, that Jenna's not going home. But I am mad at MTV spoiler. I don't think it matters that much that Zach comes back to show that then.
Yeah. It is still so curious what happens that brings Zach in and what happens that brings CT in. Because there's no real guidelines yet of what that might be.
I just think because we've seen CT before come in just to screw with things, you know, Bananas backpack, that it's not as shocking to me what CT is going to be doing. Like, I feel like I have a real handle on that. Zach, for the life of me, I can't understand. The one thing, did we ever talk about that there is a scene of CT at the bar?
I don't really remember seeing that scene.
I swear I saw in some commercial there is a scene of CT out with them, which before I think we were speculating that, like, oh, they usually don't come back to the house, so why is Zach there? So I do think there is a possibility that Zach's just back for a one-off challenge and then gets to, like, come back to the house for the
maybe. I'm curious to see what happens.
Tony gets released at this point, and at this stage, I'm thinking the kid has 9 lives. He escapes getting sent home for violence. Then he's like at the hospital overnight and walks in looking healthy as anything.
And of course, he had a nice little hoplon nurse to keep him company.
Oh God, eye roll. I stop paying attention when Tony talks.
I mean, so what chances are we given that they hooked up in the hospital? Pretty high, right?
One thing I was going to talk about at the end, but Madison, he definitely hooked up with a hoplon at the hospital because Madison and Tony both tweeted a picture of Madison in Turkey with him at the hospital.
So, not good. Not good. Bad job. Poor Madison.
Madison tweeted it out herself, though.
I know.
First, Tony tweeted it, and I was like, wow, that was an aggressive move by Tony. He wrote, came from Louisiana all the way to Turkey to make sure your boy was still alive. That's love. And it's a picture of them kissing in a hospital bed. And I'm just like, first of all, I wish I could see if she was pregnant in this photo, which you can't see, to know if he knew.
Right.
And second of all, I was like, wow, that's bad form to tweet that out. And then she tweets it out herself. Glad you're okay, baby daddy. And then quickly responds to her own tweet, hashtag way back Wednesday.
No pumpkin, no.
Which I thought was amazing to be like, we're not together.
But like, that's like to do, like to have that, like knowing you just hooked up with Christina, like what, like 5 days ago? Oh my God. Tony's unreal.
Speaking of unreal, Brianna is being a huge bitch here about Larissa's appearance. Like, this irritated me to no end. Because first of all, Brianna, like, what beauty pageants have you won? And second of all, like, where do you get off criticizing another girl's weight? Like, from girl to girl, that's, like, the last thing you should be doing, especially on national television. Brianna just, whatever, I had no respect for her, but whatever care I had for her, I completely lost.
Yeah, maybe she was... She used to seeing people like that at the bakery with all the food she's offering up. I don't know. It's a weird move.
Do you buy this 180 we're getting from Brianna where all of a sudden she's like, my attitude has changed. I want to stay for Jenna.
No. I mean, I think she's just a little, like, sober right now. So maybe she can have a little more fun and not be drunk mess. That could be part of it. But no, I think go out to the club one night, Jenna or one of them will say something stupid and they might fight all over again. So no, I'm not buying it at all.
I do think that because we're seeing that this is now the end of the Brianna story. Like, based on this episode, I thought, oh, shit, Camilla and Larissa are going home because we haven't seen enough from Jenna and Brianna to warrant this being their boot episode. But when I saw this and it's like Brianna's redemption and now her head's in the game, I was like, oh, this is the perfect way to tee them up to just send them out the door. But
it's definitely possible.
But if that's not the case, then I don't know why we're getting the soundbite if it's just going to happen again. I think they would want to keep the story going that she's the worst.
Right. Right. Yeah. Unless it leads to something else. So, well, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. All right. So Tony starts cramping up and equates it to now he has a full understanding of women's health issues because he is feeling cramps.
Come on. That was funny.
That wasn't funny. That was so caveman bullshit. That was like, oh, now I have so much respect for women because, like, when they have their period, oh. And he's, like, serious.
Tony,
like,
is that you?
Like, he's such a caveman.
I chuckled. I guess I made
you're a caveman, too.
I guess so.
One thing is, like,
me laugh.
He looks terrible. And you could literally see beads of sweat dripping down his face, and then he declines medical attention.
I love that they, like, muted the conversation. I want to know so bad what was said to each other. And then they, like, regain sound with him saying, like, almost like, you have to look into the camera and say this specifically, so if something happens, we cannot be sued.
Yeah, that's what was being said. It's like, all right, if you want to decline medical attention, legally, you have to say these words. Like, I'm surprised she wasn't holding up a cue card.
Probably were.
One thing is, so he collapses on the way to elimination. I don't understand, given his physical condition, why they didn't have medical like 2 seconds behind him.
Yeah, where's Dr. Joe?
It seemed to take like an incredible amount of time to get the ambulance there, considering they knew the guy was within an inch of his life.
So I'm saying, foreign country with MTV health situations, not an ideal spot, especially when you're turning into The Walking Dead.
And then they hit us with the TBC. And Alex Panabaran wants to know, are there any worse three words related to the challenge than to be continued?
Here comes Preston. That was
my first thought was we should both be docked points when there's a TBC because we're all losers when there's a to be continued.
I hope this, like, I think someone asked this, so this could be the, like, the start. Like, didn't this happen last year too? Like, there was like six straight to be continued.
Yeah, Alex Panamoran also asked, how likely is it that we're going to get a string of to be continued episodes like last season?
I really hope not, because that it just destroys the flow of every episode. Plus, well, it destroys the flow of the fantasy league.
Next week, they have to explain Tony, potentially medevac Tony, potentially bring in Abe and his brother as replacements, and do an elimination, and then have a full episode. If there is an elimination, there will be another to be continued. Because you can't catch up. You can't catch up without getting rid of a major section. And or Tony just coming back fine. Yeah. But I don't think Tony's just walking back
and
fine.
And they already got rid of the club scene this week. So like that would mean they would have to try to get rid of that again next week. And no one wants that.
I forgot what I was going to say. Yeah, agree. okay. Oh, the one thing is, like, and I think I've talked about this last year, is, like, The Bachelor started doing that, too, where, like, they leave off at a rose ceremony and open with a rose ceremony, so the whole flow of the episode is off. And it's just, like, we want a resolution. Like, we want the episode to have a beginning, middle, and an end. And these to be continues, I don't think, are bringing any new viewers into the show who weren't going to watch the next episode.
No, they're not. Definitely not.
If anything, it's like, all right, forget it. I don't want to be another hour of my life wasted and see no resolution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no one cares about getting a resolution in the first 5 minutes of next week. You want the resolution in the last 5 minutes of the hour you just watched.
So Judah Ray Amaria wants to know, is Camilla the challenge's Abby Maria Gomez? What are some other Survivor and the challenge equivalents?
Now, that's an insult to Camilla. I mean, Camilla has won before. Like, she's better than Abby Maria. I mean, I guess because they're both like Brazilian hotheads, like, I guess that's the stretch, but I mean, Camilla's a lot better in the challenge than Abby is to Survivor.
In fairness, Camilla's had what, 5 tries on the challenge, and Abby's only had 2 on Survivor, so Camilla's only won one time.
I think Camilla won on her second chance season.
So I think the parallel here is that if you F with me, you're dead. So for anyone who doesn't watch Survivor, a big theme this season was this Brazilian contestant, Abby Maria, would say, if you F with me, you're dead. And if someone voted against her, they were very quickly the next person out the door. And I think that is the parallel. That Camilla is very, if you F with me, you're dead. Like, you voted against my sister, like, I'm going to kill you. You're going to die. As far as other parallels, the only one I could really think of is Wes and Russell Hance. And that's because they're both strategic. They both really know how to play the game. But I think they both lack the social game to really have an easy road to the final.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no one really comes to mind right now. Like, let me just stew on this for a little bit. Let me try to think about this for next week.
So to be continued.
Yeah, to be continued.
Jenny Book wants, now, what do you think happened to Tony? Even though we assume he leaves and Abram replaces him, do you think what happened was really serious?
It definitely looks pretty serious. I mean, I'm not a doctor, so I'm not going to go throwing out possibilities like the doctors here. Like, I don't know, maybe he broke a bone. I don't know. But it seemed like he had something really going wrong, that he just collapsed and was dying.
Yeah, if they flew Madison out, I think it's pretty serious. Or if she flew herself out.
Yeah.
He was probably there for a while. We'll definitely find out next week. Jacob Brabant wants to know, assuming Abram and his brother are replacing Tony and Shane, which team is getting the better end of Tony's medevac?
We don't know anything about Michael, so I can't really speculate at him, but having Abram on your team is, I mean, it's good at bed. Like, he's good at challenges, but he's also a bit of a lunatic, so he's kind of scary to have on your team. But I would say getting Abram is better than having Tony.
I think my team is going to benefit the most from this, because I believe I have both Tony and Shane, and who's going to want to go against a Boise bro?
I mean, Abram, I mean, I am so excited to have him back on the show. It's going to be fantastic.
So this is an interesting question from Edward Morris. Advantage or disadvantage being a different gender bloodline?
I mean, all right, so if you're a same-sex bloodline, then you're safe every other week, but you're up for elimination twice that one week. So if you're opposite blah blah, and you're up for elimination every week, but you're only really up once. I think it's probably better to be different bloodline, different sex bloodline.
I think if you're a same gender bloodline, like, you have more room to play, right? Because you know you're 100% safe. So I could see maybe throwing challenges is more of an option for you. You feel more confident in doing that. I'm not saying that we're going to see that, but like, there's more room to play on the weeks that you're safe. I think just the biggest disadvantage are the teams that are one weak person and one strong person. I think that's like even more so than whether you're up twice or you're up or you're safe. So we see like probably Camilla and Larissa, Leroy and Candace, Anissa and Rihanna, Mitch and Corey, potentially, like those people are at the disadvantages.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing I was going to say, crap, why am I forgetting everything, guys? Something's wrong with me. I need to be medically evacuated.
Did you come from another holiday party, Allie?
God. Yeah, right. All right. Anyway, Ian at Fernsey on Twitter wants to know, is it better to be the host? No, that's my response. At this point, who is a bigger star, TJ or Bananas?
It's a good question. I think Bananas is probably more recognizable to the everyday person, but I think within the challenge universe, TJ is.
That's the reverse, no? Like, TJ has a life outside the challenge, so within the challenge universe, only Bananas
is... No, but I think if you put, like... I think people who don't watch the challenge have seen glimpses of Bananas before, but they might not really know who TJ is. Like, I don't think the BMX crowd is that, like, big that they would... Oh, look, it's TJ 11.
Bananas is only recognizable to the challenge world. I think TJ has... I think you're underestimating how big of a sport BMX is to some people in some areas of the country. I think it's better to be the host than the show pony. I mean, I think TJ is a bigger star just by virtue of the life that he's made for himself and that Johnny Bananas has to work like this.
I personally would rather be TJ, 100%.
Johnny does have more followers than TJ. I just looked that up right now. But I love this app because we do see Bananas defer to TJ. Like, he apologizes to TJ for interrupting him. So TJ, with saying very little, has all the power over Bananas.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all the questions before we get to the after show. Do you want to update the draft?
Sure. So should I just go through the points for this week?
It's your move.
Sure. All right. So everyone on the red team got 10 points for winning the challenge. And then the people who DQ'd were on both teams lost 10 points. So Jamie, Kellyanne, Larissa, Nicole, Rihanna, Tony, and Vince all lost 10 points. The only 5 points I gave were to Nani and Camilla.
Yeah, I thought Bananas also.
I thought about that, but it was kind of weak. I thought the Nani Camilla one was really the biggest one.
That's fine with me.
Yeah. And then Camilla cried. So that's 5.
Now, did you... I forget where we ended on. If you cry in the confessional and you cry in the moment, did you end up giving those points the first time we talked about this? Because then you have to be consistent.
I honestly don't even remember.
You have a blog about this, correct?
Yeah, but what I wrote changed because you... switched everything.
I'm pretty sure I convinced you to that it was separate events.
But I'm not even sure. Based on your stance, I don't think she was really even crying in the confessional. Like, she was.
Oh my god! Yes, she was crying.
Welling up, but like, I didn't see tears.
No, she cried. Go back and look. 100%. She cried once in the confessional and once.
But that was my thing. Like, that's like the same cry.
No, it's not. It's a different. If you're in different clothes, it's a different cry. It was a different... I mean, I honestly think it was like a month apart and she cried again, even just thinking about it. That's the best cry. The best cry is the delayed cry. Like, just hearing about the situation makes her cry.
All right, I love that. I'll check up on that.
No, you won't. I will, though.
Okay, you can.
There's zero chance that you're going to go back and listen.
So that everyone got points to survive the episode because obviously the to be continued. And then, we didn't talk about this.
Can you just look in your chart to see if you gave Camilla more points?
This was week one, right? So I gave Camilla 2 crying points in week one.
Boom. Right there. Case closed.
Okay, fine. So she gets 2 crying points.
Meeting adjourned.
That scene that MTV always sneaks in during the commercials, we didn't really talk about that with Kara and Thomas. Because they had like a bathroom scene together.
Oh. Yeah, I fast forwarded through that.
Yeah, so they each got 10 points.
Tell me what happened.
So they were, Thomas was sitting on the like the table eating food. Kara came up.
Oh, they showed it in the after show.
Okay, yeah. So they showed that scene during the episode. Okay. So I gave them each 10 points for a bathroom hookup.
Love it. Clarification question before you say the total. Sorry. What if TJ tells the whole team that they killed it? Does everyone get the points?
Everyone gets it, yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Like
sorry,
they say, like, oh, red team, you killed it?
Yeah.
Everyone gets it. So you are up by a lot right now.
Suck it.
You are killing it. You have 520 points. I have 325.
Oh.
Not doing too well.
Sorry, there's still time.
There's a lot of time left. So my boy Vince is looking like the biggest draft day bust of all time.
Then I definitely think there's still time. I think there's more to come with Vince here.
The lowest scoring person remaining in the game.
If you only got points for the after show.
Right.
But you don't.
No. You do get points for the reunion, just as an FYI.
Fine with me. So if you wanted to give points for the after show, that's fine.
No, I don't even want to watch the after show, let alone score it. So.
All right, so let's get to the after show. I love the speed recap. I thought it was so stupid, but I thought it was hilarious.
Between that and the way they're like putting together the previous leads, they're like trying to like keep this like very organized. It's not very MTV like.
Well, I think they know that usually the format is organized and the recaps aren't. Now that the format is shit, they have to try to like keep you informed.
But like, who's just watching the after show?
No, like, I don't know.
Just watching the after show of a show you don't watch.
I listen to podcasts of shows I don't watch, but I think that's a little different.
Yeah,
but,
that's different.
I think the speed recap is not to like actually offer information. I just thought it was funny.
I guess so. Yeah, I guess that's fair.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say that'd be like watching like Talking Dead if you don't watch Walking Dead.
I'm just so itching to lay into bananas right now that I keep cutting you off because it's just like
I could feel the steam coming through the microphone. So go for
it. Oh my God, what a hypocrite. I actually love when Bananas does crap like this because it's just like, wow, I don't even have to say a thing about you because you're just doing it to yourself to the point where your biggest fan, Brian, can't even.
No, I have a feeling we're going to be talking about the same thing. So go for it.
Yeah, you know, obviously. And you've agreed with this kind of thing in the past. So that's what I'm saying is like when he makes his biggest fans not even be able to support him, I love it. So yeah, a lot of questions came in about this, but I'm going to ask my own question. So Bananas is just like, I don't campaign. When I go in, I take it on the chin. What the actual fug, Bananas? Like, are you kidding me? Like, let's not even. And so many of our listeners went back into seasons after season after season of Bananas bitching and moaning about going in. But let's just go back a couple of months and talk about how you literally abused, berated, and chastised Sarah for making a strategic move because your ass couldn't stay in the game. And that's you taking it on the chin?
To me, though, the worst quote he said was when he goes to Camille, like, we weren't even that good of friends. We haven't talked in like 5 months. And that's like the exact same thing that Sarah said to him. And he's like, oh, what are you talking about? We trade together.
Literally, Sarah is somewhere reveling in this moment, if she's even bothering to watch the show. Because, that was so ridiculous. And honestly, like, we haven't seen Bananas and Sarah be friends even. But we've seen Camilla and Bananas' friendship. So how can you deny something that was on screen, you hypocrite?
I was the type of moment where I'm like shaking my head throughout the entire scene. I'm like, this is not good. I have no defense. This is bad. This is a bad job.
I also can't stand the fact that Bananas keeps saying I had nothing to do with this vote. It's like, when have you ever had nothing to do with a vote, even when it wasn't your cousin making the move? You know, like if there was something you didn't want to happen, you would be in Vince's ear making sure this didn't happen.
Yeah, see, the thing with him is he wants to be like the guy's like, oh, I control everything, I do everything. He wants to have that title, but then it goes both ways. Then when something happens that pisses someone off, you have to take a little bit of blame. So I don't think like he's the fully blame for this vote, but like he is partially involved. Like if he pushed for something, he could have tried to make something happen.
And I think what Camilla's this year is 100% right, which is at least Vince is owning it. Like, Bananas and Leroy are both trying to get around it, and that's just pathetic, especially when the game's over already. But everyone, please send Christmas gifts to Bananas. He needs some diapers because he's a little baby. And that's just the end of the day. Like, Bananas, he boils down to just being a little baby. He talks a big talk, and he talks strategy, and he can take it. But when it actually happens to him, he goes and cries.
That was not a good after show for my boy Johnny. Not good.
One thing, Jenny Lee on Twitter also called out Leroy here, which we didn't get a lot of people saying, so that was interesting, because he is saying like, oh, I just, you know, I deal with it. I do the elimination, whatever. And she's pointing out that he makes everyone that throws him in an enemy. So is he also being a hypocrite here?
To an extent, but the thing about Leroy, he's just so likable that I can never get mad at him for doing anything. He's just like, even like, whatever he does, he's like, oh, it's Leroy. He's great. Can't be mad.
Sorry, I think there's a problem with the connection. Are you saying that Bananas is not likable?
Oh, Leroy is far more likable than
that's
Bananas.
That's not what I'm asking. Are you saying you don't like Bananas?
I do, but I...
So he's likable to you.
Yeah, but he's unlikable at times. Leroy is just always likable.
What I'm hearing is you said because Leroy is likable, I can't get mad at him. But you're mad at Bananas, so therefore he's not likable.
He has moments of unlikability.
Brian does not like Bananas, everyone. You heard it here first. Moving on. I think it's interesting with Leroy because I think it's different, though. Like, yes, he does campaign, and I don't think he's saying he doesn't campaign because his speech, Jenny Lee also pointed out in the beginning, was "Don't throw me in." It was a campaign speech.
Right.
And I think there's a difference between getting mad in the game and wanting to throw in the people who throw you in and flipping out that anyone would even throw you in. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. No, because he does it almost in like a joking way, not like a serious way. So it's like there is a difference.
And then rounding out the Bananas family cast of shitheads, Vince and Camilla fight. They show a deleted scene of Vince and Camilla's fight. What did you make of this?
I'm so pissed they didn't. That means there was a club scene. They chose not to show it. Come on, MTV.
Well, we might get it later. Like, who knows with the editing?
Right. But yeah, I mean, Vince is an asshole, as we've said.
You're 5'2", 140 pounds. Like, what's it to you, Vince? Like, let's get your height and weight going, please. Like, let's chart that out and see what percentile you fall in. Like, yeah. The doctor is in.
Ask Camilla should just ask him, how many plays did you make in the NFL? How many tackles did you make? You didn't make any.
Camilla kills it, though, because she's just like, I could eat 3 Big Macs and not look like you. 200 pounds, I'm going to eat 3 Big Macs and be happy about it. She just gets her face right in the camera. Now, was Johnny filming this?
It must have been, right? Because aren't there no cameras on the bus?
Well, who said that to someone? Got to give listener credit there. Somebody.
Well, I thought Kara said that. Didn't Kara say that in a tweet?
Oh, maybe. I thought a listener also tweeted that us, but maybe. Either way. No, Kara. I think Kara is the one who said, like, if I was hooking up, the cameras would have gotten it.
True,
and then
true,
a listener
yes.
Oh, so pointed out to us.
Yeah,
a listener pointed out that, like, Kara is dumb because she knows. Like, yeah. She's lying.
Yeah, that's right. I was
because she knows they don't have cameras in the bus.
Yeah.
So one thing. Listen. Oh, go ahead.
I don't know the listener, but I'm saying shout out.
He will say something that's not over. Okay. Vince is overcompensating and it's so sad. That's what I think all of this puffing his chest bullshit is, like with Corey and Nani and now with Camilla and calling her fat. Like, Vince is just, I'm so sad for how he must feel about himself to be lashing out like this.
I mean, how do you expect to live your life when you have someone as great as Bananas in your family to overshadow you?
Nick Sabetta wants to know, what is going to be the ultimate reasoning of Bananas being nominated/eliminated? The fact that he's such a big threat, or the fact that pretty much everyone, especially the girls, seems to absolutely hate Vince?
I wouldn't say threat, because I think at this point they do think it's like a team thing. So his team's not going to really want to get rid of him. So I think it's going to be more them wanting to just get rid of Vince because they hate him.
Respect. My favorite thing here, and I have nothing else to say about Vince. I will let you have the final word on that. I think that was perfect. Leroy's reaction to Tom and Kara. If I were Abe, I would kill both of them and the cameraman that filmed them.
That was funny. And then he's bananas like, oh, you might see them on a milk carton soon. That was
Which is so true. Abe is so crazy.
Like, would you, like, honestly, if you found out, like, this season or, like, on, like, a news thing broke that Abram stalked down Thomas and, like, beat the shit out of him, would you even, like, be that surprised?
His last news thing was, like, he was, like, flinging his feces around a jail cell. So, no, absolutely not.
I mean, he shows up this season with a face tattoo. You don't want to cheat on someone's girlfriend that has a face tattoo. That's like a good life rule to live by.
I did not notice a face tattoo.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
He's a lunatic. He's an absolute lunatic.
And to be continued on that. I mean, that's all I have now. And I cannot wait for Abe to enter the scene.
Yeah, you could tell when in the preview of these, they show up in anime, like, oh my god, like, you could sense the fear in his voice when he said that. No one wants to see Abram show up. No one, except for the people watching.
Definitely not Kara.
Definitely not Kara, and definitely not Thomas.
All right, you got anything else on this episode? I think we're both anxious for episode 4.
Yeah, bring on Abram. No, that's all I got. So you can subscribe at robiswebsite.com/challengeiTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at BusDriversRoute, and they can follow you
at LashTweets.
And we'll be, the next couple of weeks, scheduling may be weird with the holidays and New Year's, so be patient as we try to actually live lives. So we'll be in touch when these are coming out, though.
I don't like how that came off. Don't be patient. Do whatever you want. Hate us.
Send the hate mail to LashTweets. Send all positive things to me. We'll be back for episode 4. Until then, have a good one.